In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace, mercy, love, and goodness are synonyms that describe God's feelings toward mankind in Christ. But notice those two little words are key. In Christ. Apart from Christ, God is angry, just, wrathful, and condemning. But in Christ, we come to know a gracious, merciful, loving, and good God who does not treat us according to our sins, but according to his beloved Son, according to his atoning sacrifice, and according to our baptism into him. So, though all these words describe God's feelings toward mankind, each one carries a different shade. Grace is given to the guilty. Mercy is shown to the miserable. Love is God's desire for communion with man, and goodness reveals that God is not a strict judge, but a kind Lord. Today we focus on mercy. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful, Jesus said. He did not say, do works of mercy, but he said, be merciful. It's what you are. To show mercy is not enough, for even the unbelievers can imitate that external work. And God desires mercy, not sacrifice. Sacrifices are external. Mercy is internal. It flows from the innermost parts of your heart. It must define your soul and direct your movements. When the heart is merciful, then your actions will be pleasing and right in God's sight. So a merciful heart is more pleasing to God than church offerings, pipe organs, stained glass windows, or anything else we can give. It is who we are. Mercy is shown to the miserable. The misery of others fills our hearts with mercy. We do not rejoice in their pain, neither are we glad when they suffer. Their suffering, troubles, anguish, difficulty touches our heart and moves us. But they can never pay it back. And neither will they make it up to us in some way. Mercy is always undeserved. So the Good Samaritan stops to help the wounded, beaten, dying Jew, and then pays for his continual care. You seek to relieve the suffering, pain, anguish, stress, sorrow in those around you, in whatever way you can. Mercy does not live independently, but it lives for its neighbor. We are all one, after all. We are all descended from the one man, Adam. How much more, then, should the Church of God deal with one another in mercy? So let no divisions be found among you. Let not politics, race, sports, or news divide you. Christ has united you to the Father, and by his blood he has united you to one another. Satan divides. Christ reconciles. Satan disputes. Christ brings concord. Satan wants individualism, every man for himself. Christ builds unity. As Jesus was about to enter into his suffering, he prayed that all believers would be one, even as the Father and the Son are one. For the whole work of salvation is directed at restoring the blissful unity that was lost to sin. Where there is unity, there you will find mercy. It takes the burdens of others, so you are ready to help in whatever way is needed, by deed or counsel, help or consolation, words or works, or if there is no other way, then by sympathy and prayer. If you are merciful, then you will make their suffering your own. Bring it into your own heart. View it as your burden, your problem, your trouble. Why? Again, unity. The eye does not reject the foot, and the ear does not look down on the hand. When one part of the body suffers, the whole part suffers. You are not separate from them, and they are not independent from you. They cannot go it alone, and neither can you. They need you, and you need them. So the eye avoids dangers to the feet, and the hand covers the ear. The body is one, even as you are all one in Christ. You are all washed in the same water of holy baptism, given the same forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit through those waters. You all receive the same forgiveness spoken by the one pastor. You all eat from the same bread, and you all drink from the same cup. you are one in Christ. Can the blind lead the blind? Of course not. Both will fall into the pit of hell. So why would we imitate this blind world and sit in judgment upon others? Judging destroys our unity. It exalts one above the other. And it puts logs into our eyes that are often that we are often oblivious to, and yet protrude out in arrogance and in independence and in moral superiority. You have but one judge who sees the heart. It is the world who thinks that they are competent to judge every public policy, every medical advancement, and every sentence an individual said or wrote reaching back 30 years. They are quick to claim moral superiority by pointing out the speck in someone else's eye, while ignoring the log protruding from their own eye. They know nothing of mercy, nothing of forgiveness, nothing of giving. Apologizing, yes. Public shaming, you bet. Forgiveness, never. The offender deserves to suffer for his choices. The blind do not want unity, but they want power. They want to be leaders and influencers, and the ones who make the decisions. Do not be like them. Sometimes they are merciful to victims, but it's only an external mercy. They would never show mercy to a traitor, a racist, a rapist, or a murderer, but God does. And that is the mercy you are to imitate. God has mercy on those who deserve their sufferings, who played with fire and got burned, which is to say, God has mercy on you. We broke creation. We injected death and decay into it. We caused our bodies to grow old and break down. Our sin made us lose our loved ones. Our sin created the healthcare system and all that goes along with it. Our sin brings pain and suffering and disease and cancer and earthquakes and viruses and troubles and natural disasters and all other things. This should not be surprising, for God told us this would happen. On the day you eat of it, you will surely die, he said. But God is merciful. Though we got what we deserved, he seeks to remedy your pain, your misery, your sadness, your hurt, your tears, and your weakness. He has seen your self-inflicted misery, and he has seen your pathetic attempt at trying to fix this world. He has seen how you've tried to ignore your trouble by distracting yourself with other things. And so in mercy, he sent his son. In mercy, the son took your misery as his own and made your suffering his own. His earthly life was not filled with joy, pleasures, entertainment, or laughter. But Isaiah says he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He knew your pain and your grief, your regrets and disappointments, your sadness and your heartbreak. He took it from you and bore it into his own body. His life was what your life should be. His death was what your life, your death should be. And yet he was pierced for you. He was crushed for you. He pulled the logs of arrogance and independence out of your eye and carried them to Calvary. He endured the misery, the pain, the punishment you have earned so that you might have his righteousness. He was tossed into hell's fire so that you might walk through heaven's gates. He was blinded by death and laid in a pit so that you might live even though you die and you might see God face to face. The bed your sins made, he laid down in, all so that you might be free from misery and be called a child of God and heir of heaven. So in Christ, this troubled world will not last. In Christ, the sorrows of life will not linger. In Christ, your misery is only short term. The day of resurrection is near. Notice again how important those two little words are. In Christ. And so Christ did not descend to ignore you, but he ascended into heaven to unite himself to you, for he continues to be merciful to you. He relieves your pain by his forgiveness. He heals your diseases by his holy baptism. He cures your ailments by his Holy Supper. Whatever causes you misery, pain, trouble, stress, hardship, whatever is burdensome or troubling, is removed in Christ. For you are not two, but you are one. He is your head, and you are his body. And so he comforts and cares for you, even as you comfort and care for one another. He does judge you, not to claim moral superiority over you, but so that he might forgive you. You do the same with one another. And he does condemn your sin, not to distance himself from you, but so that he might give to you eternal life. Again, you do the same. For your union with him has changed you. His life now flows through you. His mercy fills your heart and spills into your actions. Let not your judgmental heart divide you from Christ. Let not your pride divide you from one another. Live in love. Live as one. Live in Christ. Receive him. Rejoice in him and in the unity that you all share. You are one. He is the head. You are his body. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.